Can you all hear anything? No.
Yes, a little bit.
Can you hear here?
Oh, yes.
Can you hear myself over there? So, Mary Lou, why don't you try your mute your thing there for your microphone if you would? Yeah, exactly. Mary Lou, why don't you try talking and see if everybody can hear you?
Okay. Can you hear us now?
Yeah.
Everybody hear us? Margo?
Yeah.
Hard to hear you.
It's hard to hear me, and I'm guessing that's because of the fan. Maybe we should put the fan on.
Fans and there's laptop issues. I don't even
Anything.
know where the microphone is on this laptop.
Okay, so we're working from a different computer now for the sound, and you can still hear us, and is that better?
Yes, much better.
Okay, very good. We would like to def On our agenda, we have meeting minutes as the first item, and we would like to defer that to the end of the meeting so that we can start with our guests here. And we have the 5259 Eastport Lowell Road is the first item, and it is the residential pool. And who is here to present that?
We have Hema Pools here. I'm sorry, I don't recall your
But
name.
he's not.
Can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so my name's Eric. I'm with Pima Pools. I'm actually in the sales department. So I sold the job, but our designer is supposed to be on the meeting also. He's probably going to be the one that can answer, all of the questions regarding, design, location. I'm not sure what questions. I wasn't given, a list of questions or anything that I needed to answer. So I'm not too sure what information you guys are going to need from us. But Ivan's our designer, and he should be on this meeting also. I'll text him to make sure. He did send me the link right now, so I would think he would be on.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. Yes, that's
Oh,
me.
there we go.
Yeah, I got everything. So if you have any questions, everything is in the
Is there a few mute ears I can turn mine up? It might be a little louder. Mute
yeah.
your speakers.
I'm sorry, I was on the cell phone. So yes, I'm the designer and everything is included in the package. So if you have any questions, we'll be here to help in any question you may have.
I don't really have any information about this pool. Can you just start at the beginning? There's the is that the set of plans? There we
You
go.
want me to share?
Yeah, let's start there
Oh, okay.
and go through and present it.
Yeah, let me share my screen. Okay, yes. Well, that's a residential pool, and the only thing that it will be visible in the back of the house, it will be the wall. We're going to build a wall because following the codes of the city of Tucson, and it will match the house, and the pool, it will be enclosed in the house. So just the owners and the property owners can see the pool, can see the pool, and the information about the what the colors and the stucco that we will use in the wall, it is on page, let me see, it is on the site plan page number 2, and yes, that's number 2. If you see the pool is enclosed inside the courtyard of the house, So the only thing that will be visible is the part that says access. There we're going to build a wall with the elements that are proposed there, stucco, five, let me double check, 6 feet wall. Yes, 6 feet, six foot high block stucco with rounded edges to match the house, and with a total length of 12 feet. And we will use silica sand stucco finish and with Western One coat ICBO 3899. That's the color.
Okay, I have to admit I'm still trying to orient to the plan. So I'm having a little trouble with how the pool is infilling that area. I'm also not seeing exactly where the new wall is going on this plan. If you can help highlight those things for me.
It will be done in the part where we have the legend access. If you follow the path where it says access, there we will build the wall, the new wall.
So here's, this is south. Oops. Yeah, this is the back side. The wall goes between there.
It's just this, it's not
Yeah.
this gate.
Well,
It's
it's a
this.
gate and walls.
So it looks like there's a gate there. What is the gate?
Yes, let me explain. The gate, it is. Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me scroll down. Can I share the?
Yes, you have permission to share your screen if you'd like.
Okay, I will share my screen then. Okay, let me. Oh, only the host can share this mail. Okay.
Co-host.
Yeah, I'm trying to share the screen, but
Okay. Well, if you let me know what you want me to, how you
look at the gate, and then there's a couple more pages down.
okay. If you go down to the following page, that there it is. There it is, the gate that we are going to be, well, we are going to install. And those are the colors that we are going to use, the materials and the pool wall for the pool wall and the gate. We are trying to match everything that is included in the residential home, and everything will be just the same as they use as the builder, the home builder used for the first permit when building the house. So we are trying to match the colors, the stucco and the gate too.
Is there a reason that the pool wasn't included in the initial design concepting and planning for this home?
Well, we were just being hired after the house was built. That's the main reason.
So you're with the pool company specifically, as opposed to like truly representing the builder, owner builder?
Yes, we are representing the just for the pool construction. We are the builder for the pool, and we're representing the owner.
And when were you first contacted about putting a pool on this property?
That will be us, and the name of the contact, it is KMS Enterprises. It will be Kaylin Norgard. That's the main contact that we have.
And what was her date?
But
Yeah,
what was the
when.
initial contact with them about concepting this pool, because we've reviewed this property previously, and it seems to me that this pool concept was part of the total thinking for this building project. However, it was not part of the initial site.
Yeah.
It wasn't presented as part of the full building concept. Yeah, this is Kaylin. I'm not sure who's speaking. I can't see. Who's speaking right now?
This is Briggs.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Briggs Klinko, I'm a board member.
Yeah, how you doing? So the reason why it wasn't presented during the first process, the first 2 years, is because we were told not to. And that's in the meetings.
You were told what? Tell me that again, Halen.
It was told not to present the pool because that was a separate matter.
Okay, I don't recall that. I remember
Well,
asking where
you
the
should go
pool
back to the
was and it wasn't there.
No, it's in the meetings. If you go back to the meetings 2 years ago, it's we went over the pool and it was brought up by someone on the committee, and then Michael Taku and someone else on the committee said the pool is not this pool is in the courtyard. It's not historic, does not to be reviewed by historic. But recently Michael told me that it changed, so that's why 8 months ago, we've been dealing with this pool for 8 months. Pima Pools have submitted it. They've multiple times, and they said that we need a full review, and that's where we are. But the reason why it wasn't in the original reviews of the construction of the house is because it was told not to be.
I was that information that was provided to you by the city of Tucson outside the bounds of one of these historic board meetings?
No, it was during the meeting.
Well, you said Michael Taku said that, so it wouldn't have been during one of these meetings. He's not part of this. He usually oversees the PRS meetings.
He participated in some of these as well.
But okay, that is different
Either
than what we think, but I remain curious about the gate and the gates and the wall that you're suggesting. Is the line drawing on it's not on this aerial image, it's here.
It's in the back, right? Is
Yes, it's in the back. It's in on the north side.
It's visible. It is visible from the property next door.
It would be only visible from the north end of the property.
From the palm, from the house next door, and
What,
maybe
to the
from that.
west?
I'm sorry.
To the west.
To the west,
Yeah.
yes, the house to the
Yeah.
west.
The church, yeah. You would really have to go to the far north corner to see the wall.
Yes, I don't agree or don't disagree that you would have to look at it from part of their yard over there. How do these things? I don't know a lot about pools, and I'm guessing Mr. Valencia does. Do these gates and this wall meet the City of Tucson guidelines for the gates and walls that are needed for a pool?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
I'm sorry, sir. I
Yeah.
wondered if the gates and this new wall that are proposed, first of all, do they meet the guidelines for pool enclosure for the City of Tucson?
Oh, to include the enclosure and the barrier for the pool access. Yes, we need to include it.
I'm not hearing it. Did you hear it?
Yeah,
I'm
they're
so sorry.
professional pool contractors who built the 6 foot pole in accordance with city code.
So that's what he is saying.
Yes.
That it is. Okay, it does have that. The gates are for this neighborhood, and the wall is also solid and linear, and that's also unusual for this neighborhood. So I was just trying to think of some kind of solution to give it something that is more in line with the neighborhood.
Is the gate the same height as the wall?
There's not a clear visual about how the gate and the wall are integrated with each other.
And every once in a while, we see these curved edges, and I'm confused if it's a curved wall or a straight wall.
Have you guys reviewed this package that we submitted?
It is straight wall.
Yes, I have reviewed the package that was submitted.
So the reason I asked about the height is because on the elevation, it looks like the frame would be slightly above the wall. Is that right?
You might be looking at the south. Not you might be looking at the south gate if that's what you're looking at on the screen.
Yeah, that looks like what the south is. Double full wall.
Is it so what's on the screen right now? That's the gate, right?
That's the wall, including the gate on the north side.
So the gate is 6 inches above the wall, is that right?
It is
the frame of the gate.
It is 6 feet total, the height. Yep.
So
it's flush.
The frame of the gate is flush with
everything
top of the wall.
Yes, it's flush. Okay.
So it doesn't look like that in the drawing, right? It looks like the frame of the gate comes above.
The measurements are 6 feet and 6 feet. It's just the drawings.
Okay.
Do they sit in front of the wall to give it that appearance of being a different height?
Well, the minimum, it is... I believe it's five. We are just doing it just for aesthetics. But the minimum is five for the pool enclosure.
This loan had some conditions for construction, and I'm a little concerned that maybe some of those other conditions have not been fulfilled, and a little concerned about moving forward with additional approvals when we're still reconciling previous condition concerns. For me, kind of paramount to the streetscape of Fort Lowell is the visibility of the garage door. It's pretty clear that there was a condition that the garage door should not be visible from Fort Lowell. Yet when I drive down Fort Lowell, it's quite clearly visible. And I'm just wondering about concerns about the initial construction before moving forward with the approval of the pool.
Well, yeah, so this meeting is for the pool. Those conditions, if you read them correctly, it's visible. The garage door cannot be visible from the front of the house on Fort Lowell. I am 100% in compliance with all my conditions, and that is a meeting that I dealt with for 2 years. This meeting is for the pool.
Would you like to hear some of the conditions?
No, this meeting is for the pool. If maybe once we've dealt with this pool that we've been dealing with for 8 months, if I have time, we can go over the conditions. But I am 100% within compliance with my conditions. I've already done my meeting for the construction. I have my permit. I have written letters from the attorney for the city and the mayor and council, all my conditions. I'm 100% compliance. This meeting is for the pool.
Well, I have a concern about moving forward with additional approvals when it seems
I already have approval.
The primary condition of this home's construction has not been met. As a board member, I'm more than entitled to speak at this meeting and state my concern, regardless of how you feel about it.
Other comments, concerns? Any other comments or concerns?
I have some concerns about this plan and that the property lines are not correctly represented on the plan. So, this is the same probably as the original.
So on the original, on the first view of the that one, the property lines are
still. This is the ability wall, and the property lines of this property is 1938.
So that's a number in the box.
So,
I'm sorry, David.
Oh, no, I was. So that's in the Adobe wall you're referring to is
on the left.
On the left side. Okay.
There are also other conditions on the ordinance that related to that, that the easement, there but easement should be shown on that plan. On that plan, or shown the original plan, it's not shown this. There are other references to complying with the same colors. The colors don't comply with the ordinance. The ordinance says that the building should be the color of adobe or darker. It's not, it's kind of pink, pinkish gray.
House is not painted yet. The house isn't painted yet, if that's what you're talking about, color.
Yeah, the house color. Yeah.
Yeah, the house is not painted yet.
Mm. Well, are you once again, color all that's noted on the plans for the doll?
Color noted on the plans was never approved. It was referenced on the plans, but the ordinance actually says the house should be as dark or darker than you. I don't think you've ever seen the color of the.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
You are aware the house has not been painted, correct?
We've never seen the color that's proposed.
What color is it proposed to be painted?
I'm not entertaining that question. I've already went through that meeting for 2 years. It's already been done and approved. 25 meetings. It's done.
Something's nodding sand or something like that. But the color that this board has never seen that color except in these plans. And so the and then additionally the landscape on this plan
Riggs, given the pool door structure, I'm concerned with the size of those windows and how that looks, and it didn't seem to match that
size. I'm concerned about making any additional agreements with this property, and currently it's quite clear to me that a major condition of the construction of the
Well, that's not what the city. That's not what the city says.
And that there's a garage visible from Fort Lowell streetscape directly across the street from the San Pedro Chapel, and it's concerning to me that we don't have a resolution around meeting one of the major conditions of construction, and that we're moving forward with additional approvals while dealing with the. What to me is a major concern for the streetscape of the Fort Lowell neighborhood.
Okay. The other would be the surrounding edges of all the corners and edges have been more rounded than they were initially, but they still are not. They're still more right angled than they are rounded, and that was another condition for these walls and the house itself. And I also feel like that's a component that's missing. And so even looking at the wall that's coming forward for this wall installation, rounding of the wall is not evident on that plan.
So I can give an update on from the city side. We did have an inspector go out and look. We were checking against the ordinance. The project is still under construction, and at this point, we can't hold up necessarily a review of the pool application. comments you might have, but you have to bring the application forward and have grounds to not hear it. There wasn't anything egregious that was not addressed to the point. Of course, it's not yet. There's still some conditions that need to be completed, but that's where we're at right now.
Okay, so I can rephrase that. We do have to look specifically at this and accept or deny this gate that's being recommended or being suggested. We are not over the plan for this gate.
The plan landscape, the power of the pool itself.
So maybe you could speak to that a little bit. Two things that, if you can orient me with the plan, the landscape around the pool and the characteristics of the pool itself. What's it going to look like?
I'm sorry.
It's a little choppy. Sorry, let's try saying that again.
Yes, your question inside the pool or the deck?
Sorry, it's really choppy. Maybe you could just type what your question is in regard to what I was asking.
Desiree, can you see if everybody else is here?
Yeah, there's something weird going on.
No, it's Daniel. Because that should be the woman's on here, right?
Yeah, that's the one we're talking through right now.
Is that everybody else to Mark?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you, but there's been a lot of echoing. It's been very difficult to understand a lot of what's been discussed.
Yes, I agree. It's a lot of echo. I barely hearing the conversation.
But I could hear Briggs clearly.
Okay, so it's still echoey. I'm sorry, but can you say your question again?
Oh, sorry. I just hear a question about the pool.
Yeah.
I was wondering what was the question. If it is about the pool interior or just the deck that?
Yeah, just what is the pool itself going to look like? What is the landscape around the pool going to look like?
Oh, okay. It will include 72 perimeter of artistic pavers. 12 by 12. Everything is enclosed, so it will be inside the courtyard. It will not be visible from the outside. And the artistic paver, I have three choices. We haven't decided yet. That's why it's not included in the color here. And the interior will be, let me check that, will be mini pebble and the color, and we haven't decided on the color. That's something that the client will decide. Like I said, it won't be visible from the outside. So that's the reason it is not included in the plans.
Vegetation.
And that includes the vegetation around it?
Well, inside the courtyard, we are not planning to do landscaping. The outside.
So the inside is just going to be pavers, what it sounds like.
Pavers. It is artistic pavers. It is just like travertine. It is 1 inch, 1 inch and one quarter and of thickness.
Yeah.
And it would be 12 by 12, just a square. And it would be surrounding the perimeter of the pool, the edge.
So then landscaping in front of the gate around the, I guess that'd be the northwest of the gate. What's that going to look like?
Outside, we are not doing any landscaping. Outside the access, we are not doing any job.
Okay. Is there any plan for the landscaping that'll be outside?
Not for us. We don't have any.
Kaylin, maybe you could speak to that.
Your question, is there any landscaping on the exterior of the home?
Oh, just on that back side as it would, you know,
no.
Be adjacent to the wall.
No.
Looking at these plans, I'm noticing that the pool pump is in an unconcealed area from what I can tell, and there's a requirement for heavy equipment in the old fort, the old historic zone to be concealed. Is there a plan to remedy that?
Well, would you just use concrete slabs? The equipment will be ground. Attach 36 inches away from the pool wall, I mean the outer structure. That's the plan. The equipment will be over the concrete slabs.
Will it be above ground and visible?
Just visible in the north part, the north side. It won't be visible from the exterior, from the street.
Seems to me that maybe the pump should go within the courtyard somewhere where it's not visible from the 360 route.
It won't be visible from the street.
Or that there should be a pony wall, some kind of barrier to conceal it from the sight lines of this house, because certainly there's, you can, once again, I'm concerned about the streetscape from Fort Lowell right now. I'm, you know, looking at a garage door that I'm not supposed to see from the streetscape, and that there's going to be equipment visible from the street.
You would not see it from the street.
Well, we need to see that executed in like a plan that demonstrates or shows, or I guess we can put that as a condition.
As a condition. And Briggs, I don't see where the equipment is.
It's very hard to find when looking at the plans. It's in the sort of in the top left corner in extremely light yellow, almost as if to pretend it isn't there, but it is in fact a pool
there
infrastructure.
It is. Oh, yeah.
Where is it? Could you...
Up there, that
oh,
light.
Okay. Oh, got it.
And for me, I'm, you know, that's pretty close to the edge of the house, and I'm wondering if it could be tucked further into the property and or if a pony wall could be going, but linking modern pool infrastructure from Fort Lowell is
not acceptable.
Yeah.
And the other part of that is, again, it's visible. Yes. So that becomes a bigger issue, and it does need to be screened. I have to tell you, I'm struggling with the angle of this wall and gate, and it's not because things need to be regular, but it's almost like it doesn't seem to match the character of the house that's very angular, and all of a sudden it's gone. And I like multiple kinds of angles, but the way this is designed, it cuts the corner of that pool area. To me, it almost looks like that would be a hazard for people walking around the pool. I don't know what that distance is between the gates and the pool. I'm really struggling with that.
I think that's a really good point, Mary Lou. Like there's not really any examples in the development zone of big diagonals that are affixed to the home structures. Is there, were you drawing from any design references in the development zone when you chose to do a diagonal fencing line?
I'm sorry, is this a question for us?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The design choice to do a diagonal wall,
Yes.
was that informed by any of the contributing historic properties that are in the development zone that this property is comparing itself to?
Well, what we did is what we did is create space that the gate will open to the outside. And we left the minimum, which is 3 feet away from the 3 feet and 7 inches away from the pool edge, from the water pool edge. And what we tried to match is the materials and structure from the house. And well, the angle is just a design
When this pool gets drained, you know how pools get drained periodically? Where will it be draining to? Because it's not going to, where it's currently sitting, it's not going to go out to the street.
No.
So where will this be draining to?
Well, we will start a main drain. The pool, we don't drain the pool. That's not common.
Don't you backwash?
Washing and things like that.
Just we don't do unless it is completely necessary. That's why we were installing a filter and the cleaning system. That's the reason the filtration system does everything by itself.
So for the sake of argument, if you did have to backwash it, where would it go?
Through the main drain.
Where is that, please?
And where does it end up?
The main drain. It will go to the sewage system.
Oh, goes the sewer. All right.
No, aren't they on septic?
I'm sorry.
Aren't they on
Sorry.
septic? Not they're not on city water, they're on septic. They're not on.
It's septic.
It's septic.
If the pool needed to be drained, if the pool's not very big, and if it did need to be drained, it could be distributed throughout the half acre of property we have here for backwashing and plants and trees and
That's why I
whatnot,
was curious.
or the septic.
Okay, I was curious as to where it would go on that property, because the property's pretty full of house the way I see it. So, and then
There's
there's
4,000 square
all the
feet out of
building
20.
walls, and so it doesn't look like there's a lot of place for it
There's over 15,000 square feet of land.
to go.
There's ponds to the back, yeah. What you're referring to? There's two landscape features that are on this, the ponds in the back. So would it drain into the ponds when you backwash it?
If we backwash it, it would be distributed throughout the over 20,000 square feet of land we have there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's hard to envision just because usually it's one hose, you roll it out, you know,
Yes.
and it just starts pouring out, right? And it goes where it's
No.
going to go. It's not really,
Well,
distributed or
yeah.
something.
No, I mean, the house I live in now, I recently drained my pool. I had a 150-foot hose. I literally took it all throughout my
We're not
property.
able to hear you.
Sorry, say that one more time.
Yeah, they have multiple hoses. I just drained my pool at the house I live at now. It's a 150-foot hose, distributed the water throughout my property.
So I think the main concern is all the adobe walls around
It's completely, yeah, it's over 80 feet away from those. It's over 80 feet away from the adobe. And the elevation goes to the north, not the south. So I would have to deliberately dump it onto the adobe. that makes no sense. There's plenty of space in the back and sides.
Well, that looks like it's 39 feet. I don't see that. Doesn't that look like 39 to you on this?
Yeah, yeah.
Kaylin, I guess I'm at this point, I'm uncomfortable with this plan. And I'm not sure that we can continue to talk about it. I feel like I'm uncomfortable for a variety of reasons that have been expressed. And for those reasons, I'm ready for us to make a motion. And if I can get a colleague to do that. I feel like we're reviewing parts and we're coming up with the things that are making us uncomfortable, and I'm not feeling like the plan is even.
So what would be the implications of that? Then?
Well, there's...
You would present them...
conditional improvement, and we're currently struggling with conditional improvement.
I would like to make the... Based on what we presented today, we cannot approve this at present, and then not make any other statements. Because...
What are you not comfortable with?
So...
Sorry, say that again, Kaylin.
What are you not comfortable with?
Well, we have a concern about some of the design elements, like there's no barrier blocking the pool pump, and there's also been a concern raised about the wall insulation.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you're cutting out kind of bad.
I have a concern about the heavy equipment being visible from Fort Lowell, and you brought forth a concern about the diagonal wall being out of character with Fort Lowell design elements. And this concern for me is intensified because I'm looking at some conditional requirements for the main house build.
I'm trying to figure out what you guys are uncomfortable with.
Seem to be struggling around. And I have concerns doing an approval with conditions when currently I'm looking at some conditions that to me seem like they haven't been followed. So I'd like to see plans that come back that are, you know, a complete representation of what's going to get executed, because it seems to me that we've had previous concerns with conditional approval. And as far as I can tell, this is actually a conversation here at our table, and we're talking about this topic.
So your concerns, you're uncomfortable with this pool design because of the equipment and the wall. Is that correct?
Kaylin, I think this is all on record, and you'll be able to go back and read the minutes. I don't feel like we can do much more at this table at this time, other than to say whether or not we approve or do not approve. And I just feel like I can't do it to go back through each of those items again. Many items have been discussed, and they're all available to you, and they will all be in the minutes. And you can then come back and present it that way. And yeah.
So it sounds like, Ms. Chair,
is that okay with everybody here?
Yeah.
We're not interested, we are not closing the discussion as a presentation and are taking it as discussion among board members. Thank you for that, everyone. I'm totally uncomfortable with the information that's been presented today for a variety of reasons, including the rounded edges that aren't evident, the angle of the wall, the lack of coverage of the pool equipment, the the lack of concern for the drainage on this property. I don't know of any pool that's ever been backwashed, so I just don't understand. I also, and in my heart of hearts, though we can't mandate that some kind of vegetation goes in there, yeah. I can't imagine being at a pool that only has decking, though it sounds like nice decking, but I just can't imagine an outdoor area that is all essentially concreted for the comfort of the people using that pool. I'm unhappy with the distance between the door and that corner. That is of concern to me, just even though it meets the guidelines of, what do you say, 3 feet, 7 inches. But it is, to me, that's a huge concern for somebody falling into that pool. I've felt like the gates themselves didn't seem to contribute and flow with the rest of
that was
the
actually
house.
Just while you're on that, Mary Lou, I wanted to bring that up. So the gates being metal framed and entirely framed such that the top of the gate, when opened, the frame would still be in place, right? So a lot of the gates in Fort Lowell, I feel like, especially if they're double swing gates, don't have a frame going across the top. Right? Once the threshold is open, there's nothing above the gate that would.
Yeah. No, there's no frame above it. Maybe it's just the way the drawing looks. You could adjust that.
Yeah, yeah. In your drawings, it's gonna right.
But furthermore, the discussion has been closed.
So I think just to reiterate as far as the landscape goes, Mary Lou, it seems like there are landscape elements here that are incomplete. So you have earthen ponds to the back that are I'm assuming going to have some kind of shrubs or trees or something around them. And it's proximal enough to the wall that I think it can be considered a component of the landscape that is adjacent to the wall. I think we need a more complete landscape plan. We need potentially a wall that flows a bit better with the rest of the structure. We need a gate that looks more reminiscent of those in the area. We need something
the same that was approved for the front.
Can we get some support or request?
Yeah, I think Stephen, Sarah has made she's closed the discussion in the presentation, so if she asks a question.
Okay. Yeah, anything else, Dan, stand out for you?
No, I think just the concern of backwashing and, you know, running into adobe walls that are already very delicate, right? I think if those are exposed to volumes of water, they're not going to last more than a couple weeks, quite frankly.
Color. Oh, yeah, we have no information about color.
The colors in the plan.
There were three colors.
But I don't know that we know, yeah, which color is going to be used or if these were options. And maybe the first, but that looks like the stucco plan or for the texture, but the two colors below don't look as though they're that dark. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, they don't seem to be darker than the adobe or the ruins, but maybe I'm, you know, misremembering the color of the ruins.
Red. Anything else?
No, I think you did a good job of kind of stating the concerns that have come up, kind of re-summarizing them.
Okay. Do we need a motion to accept or not accept the plans as presented?
I'm assuming yes.
Can you make a motion?
Sure. So I move that we reject our current plans as they were presented to the board. Period.
Okay. I have to excuse myself, Margo. I didn't include you. Did you have anything else?
No, I think I one thing I miss, and you pointed it out, was that angle for that door doesn't fit. And as far as the backwash, I'm concerned also about the vegetation, because when I had my pool filled in, I wouldn't let Ken, you know, he had to test the water to make sure it was inert, that it wouldn't harm the vegetation. The chlorine in that water will kill a lot of vegetation.
Thank you. Any further discussion on David's motion? And is there a second?
I'll second it.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I would also like to make one more comment, and that is, I thought the city of Tucson was trying to reduce and limit the number of pools being built to conserve water.
I don't know that, but it's an interesting
comment. I don't know that either.
Comment.
No, they've put on a couple of kind of informational sessions about how to go about doing that. Yeah, I did agree.
Okay. Would you like to vote on the proposal, Margo?
I can't. I didn't hear the question.
She said aye.
Did you already?
I seconded.
I seconded it.
But so she does that an aye?
I would assume so, yes.
Okay. Thank you. So that closes this. And Kayla, if you would like to represent this at some later date, we would love to see it and hear it again. And it would be great if you could come to the meeting, because we would do a much better job of being able to see your plans. And so I would invite you to come here if you can.
I don't know if you're still with us.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Valencia. And so we can move on to the second item on our agenda, which is the Fort Lowell District Lowell Rehab Project update. And this is information on the 5479 East Fort Lowell Road, which is the commissary and the Townsend House, those two pieces. And I'm not sure if Drew or Corky will be presenting that.
So I have
I'm right here. I'll be presenting it, and Corky will be helping me.
Thank you.
Can we mute the other Pima pool, because that's where a lot of the sound is coming from? I'm having a lot of trouble hearing you guys.
Yeah, I was too. Perfect.
It's muted now.
Okay,
thank you.
I think there's still an echo. Really sorry about that. We've tried to troubleshoot it and have not figured it out.
That's okay. Can I share my screen?
Yes, let me make you a co-host. And before I turn it over to you, Drew, I wanted to give a little bit of background. So I'm sure everyone here is familiar with the project, but this is a public meeting, so I wanted to just give some context. So this is an informational item and project update on the Fort Lowell Commissary and Donaldson House. The commissary is individually listed in the National Register, and the Donaldson House is a contributor to the Fort Lowell Historic Preservation Zone and also the National Register Historic District. The City of Tucson and Pima County are renovating the commissary building and the Donaldson House at the historic Fort Lowell 70-acre City of Tucson Park and Recreation Facility. This is a publicly funded project, and this represents the latest phase in the renovation of historic structures and facility improvements as outlined in the 2009 Fort Lowell Park Master Plan. This project went through historic preservation review by this body, as well as the Plans Review Subcommittee of the Tucson Pima County
Historical Commission and got approvals from Planning and Development Services at the end of 2024. The groundbreaking for the renovation was held May 28th of this year, and work is ongoing. So last month, we heard from Parks and Recreation, which is managing the project, and we heard from their contractor, Poster Murdo McDonald, that a few unexpected challenges surfaced during the course of construction, requiring some changes to the approved plan. So that the project architect is here today to share some of those issues, and also just give a general update on the project. Last week, the site visit was held as part of a minor review to approve some of those changes that we'll hear more about. A member of PRS and two members of this board were in attendance, and committee members provided very helpful feedback, which is now being considered by the PDSC director, and we should be getting a decision letter finalized this week. There is one aspect that we'll need to come back later for a second minor review once we receive additional information, once we have a better idea of funds available in the budget. So you'll hear more about that, but it relates to some of the site walls on the property. So that's all I had. I'll turn it over to...
So Desiree, just to check, you received my recap email from the other day.
Thank you.
It's on the push pad. Before they do. So is there any way that because there's so much, because it's a public project, certain corporation foundation has expressed interest as well as a possible to get for this, a minor reviews, we have further as a minor review, we look online, and we can probably...
We cannot really hear the speaker.
It's not public. So I'm just asking about minor reviews and if that could be made, if there could be like a notice to stakeholders about that.
Sure. I think next time, especially knowing there's a lot of interest in this project, we can do that.
I requested that from other aspects.
Okay.
I sent a message to Asma and said the stakeholders. It doesn't have to be a huge group, but basically representative stakeholders from the Neighborhood Association, Preservation Foundation, whoever else has been heavily involved.
Yeah, I think that was part of the idea of presenting this today, because it is an active construction site. We can't have a full group out there, but we wanted to present in this format so that we can give an update to a broader community. But we can still let people know ahead of time that it's happening, just to give updates on what's going on.
So ultimately, like at that, if they're making recommendations to approve, and then this is sort of the follow-up after the fact, so it doesn't really
It's very difficult to hear speakers that are not at the table.
The gist of the comment was people might have an interest in this project and were wondering if they can get noticed when a minor review is happening. So I think that's a gist, right?
We can control it. I mean, we're not asking for a large group. We're just asking for person from a representative of the Affordable Neighborhood Association board, and then that preservation foundation. Just limit it to not boring them.
Okay. Well, we can certainly talk to the project sponsor, but the site is the contractor at this point. They are under contract, so we have limitations on going on site.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're ready for you all to go ahead and present. So let me make sure that I have permission.
I got it. Can everyone see that?
Yes.
So yeah, I'm just going to go through sort of a review of what we covered on the site and then one of the minor changes that we've endured through TEP. So get this working. All right, so just to review, you know where both the sites are. The commissary here, one, which is on the northwest corner of Fort Lowell and Craycroft. And then site two, which is the Donaldson House on the northeast corner of Fort Lowell and Craycroft. And we'll just start with the commissary. So project update, the three issues that we brought as a minor review is plaster control joints, site walls, and a failing adobe wall in unit 5. And here's a photo of the property and the building that we're working with. I'm sure you all know that. So here is a floor plan of the building. We have not changed anything on interior or exterior as of this floor plan, just to refresh your memory. So one of the issues we ran into, we are bringing the power underground. So we'll be installing a transformer. Can you guys see my mouse?
Yes.
Okay. So the transformer will be put at the street, across the street. Right now, they put up a temporary power pole. I don't know why they couldn't use the one that was there, but for some reason, TEP has a long list of weird rules. So they installed a temporary power pole, which is bringing power to a temporary panel that's bringing us power for the site. In the future, what we're going to do is we're going to bring the power down the pole on the south side of Fort Lowell. It'll go across the street and then into the future transformer. The transformer would distribute power to one location on the west side of building A. And then the second location was originally supposed to be on the far east side, but we've been limited by TEP how far of a run we can do. I'm not sure why, but they had a set of rules. And we ended up having to place the transformer on the inside of the courtyard, which we had tried to avoid. But luckily, it's hidden by some bushes. All of the panels that we have installed, we've actually installed on Unistrut, so they're not attached to the building. We kind of made that choice that attaching to the building was going to be difficult. And, you know, we just felt it would be better to keep it away from the building. So that is the one change that we can't control that has happened.
Are they hidden through?
Say that again?
Are they hidden? Are they shielded so that you can't see them?
As best as we can, they're going to be shielded by plants, unfortunately. The original plan was to stick it on the east side of the building where people wouldn't have access, but because of the rules that TEP has implied on us, we were unable to take it over there. So it's unfortunately in the courtyard. It will be visible. Our plan is to sort of screen it with plants. At the end of the project, if we determine it's worse than we think, we may come up with something more creative.
For the transformer across on the south side of Fort Lowell, is it at ground level or is it raised?
Ground level. It sits right on the ground. So we'll end up removing all the poles on the site that we don't use anymore. Once TEP is off the pole, then there's a request for the communications to get off the pole. And then once that happens, they'll remove the pole. We've already taken the pole that was here on Craycroft out. And ironically, when they had installed it, they had also installed it right next to the sewer system, which caused some damage. So good news is we discovered that and we were able to fix it. That pole is removed. Then the future poles all in here that don't serve us will be removed. There is one pole over on the well. We tried to remove the well early on. Well, we tried to remove both the wells, to infill the one that was in the courtyard and to remove the one that was on the site. They're both owned and managed by Tucson Water, and they will not let us remove them. So.
My question is, I say ground level, I mean that it's not right. It's not a raised pedestal, right?
I don't know of a transformer on a raised pedestal. This will probably be just a green or a
the box or on a the brown ground. Box it's a box on the ground. On the ground.
It's a box on the ground or underground?
On the ground.
Okay, because they just put one in to the west of that. It's actually underground.
I don't think they're going to give us that option. I haven't ever heard of that, but possibly.
How tall is the box that'll be going in?
You're going to have to contact TEP on that. They kind of control everything.
It might be 2 feet tall.
2 feet, you said?
Yeah, it's small.
Okay.
In the pathway?
Yeah.
In the middle. In other words, the reason they came back, they put one in just west of there, across the Post Trader store. It was about 2 feet tall. It was right in the middle of our trail, a pathway. And they came back and undergrounded it.
This will be on the property of the commissary and not in the easement.
You said it's south side of Fort Lowell.
No, that's the electrical pole. This will be on the north side of the Fort Lowell. See right here, the T?
Yeah.
That's the transformer.
That's the north side.
The south side is over here where the electrical pole is. So it'll come down the pole, cross the street underground, and then come into the transformer.
And is it possible to double check with TEP about any options for getting this utility that's right?
There, we have no control over TEP. It's very complicated because this building is going to be on three phase. So we have a separate designer for this, and then Donaldson is on single phase, and there's a separate designer for Donaldson. So in communications, we have two different teams we have to communicate to. It's very difficult.
Is a transformer going to be hidden by anything?
Eventually, it'll be hidden by plants, but the transformer also has a set of rules that require a 10 by 10 space around it so that they can access it when they need to work on it.
10 by 10, that's a lot.
Okay.
So just so you guys understand, TEP is our least favorite group to work with. So,
is there an additional cost, like that, for doing an individual undergrounding of this one piece of infrastructure that's really quite front and central at the front of the property?
I don't understand. Everything's underground.
I guess it's just because Elaine is talking about this example. I understand that that's a residence, not a three phase. But they were able to get it in the ground. That's like the.
So that leads to a question I had. Is it need to be three phase?
Yes, because the intention is that building A in the future may have a cafe, and that would require espresso machines and different machines as a part of that. So it requires a higher demand. So they want to have that building be a 400 amp panel. So.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's got
a part of what we were doing here is during this process, we tried to avoid going underground because of the high cost of the archaeology. So anytime we dig underground on this project, we have to have Homer Teal there from desert archaeology observing. So every time we enter the ground or move any dirt, Homer's there.
The fact is, we've spent the last 4 months trying to find a better. Hold on a second.
Oh, you just muted yourself.
He's got some family in his house too.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to try again. We have spent the last 4 months working with TEP to try to get the best solution we could, and that's what we have now. If anyone else can get TEP to do something different, please let us know.
Can you put Elaine on it?
Elaine on.
Excuse me?
You know what I'm talking about. So.
Well, whatever you say, this convinces me.
So we're SOL with the transformers, what we're hearing.
And this is a part of the original drawings that we got permitted. So it always was here, and this was always the design.
Yeah, no, I think we just weren't sure whether it was going to be undergrounded or, you know, what the options are. But now
the only change is this location here for the panel, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, thank you for keeping us in the loop.
All right, so I'll move forward here on the minor review items. So here's a photo of the front facade. I think this was taken in, I think, 16, but as we went through the bidding process, the person, we have Randy Oden doing all the Adobe work on this, and he bid it to remove all the plaster on the building. And while he's been working on it, he's felt that he would like to put some control joints on the building. And this is a standard practice with masonry, particularly stucco and plaster. So we've kind of come up with a set of rules, and the rules are that we would have a control joint at site walls meeting the building. So I don't know how well you guys can see this, but in red, here's one here. Here's one here. And this is the front facade along Fort Lowell. There's one right here where the site wall meets the building. And then typically you would have a control joint every 40 feet. I think in certain types of plaster, they will call it even smaller than that. We're just taking a very minor approach, trying to put put the control joints in a place that we know it already cracks and to sort of cohorse it to cracking in this area. The design of this would basically be a board where he would put it up against the wall, he'd bring his plaster to that edge, and then he'd use probably a quarter inch bull nose and just sort of round it. And then every layer, so they would do three layers, there'd be a brown coat, a scratch coat, and a final coat. So every layer he would sort of tool that joint each time. The building will be covered in a stucco wire or stucco mesh, and then the stucco or the plaster will be put back on it. And we are using lime plaster for the whole building. Right now you probably see that we haven't done the parapets, and we're only doing that to protect it during the monsoon season. So it can rain on the top. The water on the walls isn't too bad unless we got some crazy storm that just rained sideways for quite a few hours. So just a series of control joints. The main facade is where most of them are. We're looking at putting one on the left-hand side of each doorway. So it'd probably only be at the upper half of the doorway, and that's typically where it cracks the most. We didn't choose it over here on what we call Building A because this is a smaller facade. We're mainly focused on the really long runs. As you see, we go through here. We may have one. I'm not sure which side it will be on this wall, which is on this patio, and this would be the hidden patio on the inside. The second couple would be on what we call Building C. This is the interior side of the courtyard that runs along Craycroft. This would be the side inside the commissary. So we're also going to have one at where it transitions from height. So a height transition. And then another one over here where it transitions from the building to the site wall. And again, this is kind of showing this point where the site wall meets this building. We're not really sure where we might want to introduce one. And then the other ones would be on the backside along Craycroft. So this is where there's a hidden little patio. So we'd have a control joint on both sides. And this wall is where the most damage is on the whole entire project. Pretty much all the plaster has fallen off because the water was pooling inside this small courtyard over time and had no way to get out. And it was weeping up into this wall. And then the last control joint would be here on the backside.
Drew, would you go back a picture to the base of that one? So could you just, I'm sorry to make you do this, but just kind of show where.
Yeah, absolutely. So the one they want to do would be right here along this vent and then coming down on the door. The second one would sort of be along this vent in line of this door. And then the third one is over here. And I mean, we spoke about it coming along down from here, but it may switch sides and sort of, I mean, it's the vent door combo that we're really trying to control because that's where the majority of the cracking is.
When you did the minor review, what was the determination that was made?
We didn't necessarily make a determination because we had seven things to cover and a limited amount of time. So we walked through with everybody and not necessarily determinations were made, and some things were focused on more than others during that time.
Maybe you could.
Yeah, so there were actually, there wasn't consensus on this from the board. There was an interest in kind of keeping it more natural looking, not using the control joints. And then from PRS, they thought it wise to follow the advice of the contractor and brought up the long-term maintenance issue.
So just want to point out, we don't mind the control joints where the site walls meet the main structures. I think those are the most necessary given how it cracks there. It's just that main facade where it would kind of, I think, detract from the overall character of it to have sort of a straight line going down.
There is no precedent for control joints and right. things. And when I even think about like row houses in Henry Park and stuff, like I'm at the Coronet all the time, and they're not, it's a huge wall. It's not using control joints. And this plaster is in this picture is probably 75 years old. And it had a huge period.
This is not 75 years old. This is a combination of layers. I mean, if you take a look at it, you can see here this vertical line that cruises across here in line with the vents. So that's the separation of the original adobe, and then that's the Bolsius adobe on top.
Where the two different materials are kind of performing differently with expansion and stuff.
It's not even two different materials. It's just two different batches of adobe.
Adobe batches, yeah.
And so everywhere you see spalling here, and this is a good photo. This is an older photo we have, but it was far worse when they started taking it off. But a lot of it, and Damien provided us with photographs from the work that was done during the time when they maintenance the building. But there's a series of work done where they had mixed concrete and adobe together, kind of creating a stabilized adobe mud. And they would patch in and fill the problems. And you can almost take the photo of where they did those patches and then look at where the cracking was. And it was identical to the two. Basically, the contractor's just saying that they're not going to warranty this if they're not allowed to, you know, put the cracks or the control joints in there. And that was their concern, is that, you know, there's going to be cracking in this building no matter what. And the goal is to try to mitigate that by giving it an opportunity to crack in particular areas instead of spalling throughout the whole facade.
So what would the warranty include then if they were there? I mean, like what would they warranty otherwise?
Well, they would warranty it from not cracking severely. I mean, I think without them providing some sort of guidance on the cracks, that it'll end up doing the same thing it did.
Well, right. if you look at this photograph, every vertical line going up to the parapet is a crack.
Yeah.
And it's cracking because it's got nowhere to expand to. Mm-hmm. And the adobe essentially no longer has a mechanical bond. The stucco no longer has a mechanical bond to the adobe. And so it's expanding and contracting, particularly on this south side of the building. And when it expands and contracts, it will crack unless it's got some way to relieve that pressure.
So I think the warranty issue kind of
what is
makes it so we can't. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get.
What are the terms of the warranty?
Yeah. Did you hear that? What are the terms of the warranty?
I mean, we would have to bring that. We would have to find that and bring that to you, but it just sounds like they're not going to want to take care of it.
I guess what we're wondering is if we're saying, oh, no, we want to void the warranty for aesthetic purposes, we want to know that it's not voiding a 30-year warranty. We want to know it's voiding a 1-year warranty, because that's standard for contractors, right, is 2 years. So.
Yeah, well, I would assume 2 years, but I would assume, you know, Adobe needs to be maintenanced every 1 to 5 years. So
the one thing that I would say is, I think the most, I mean, I understand completely Corky and Drew why you would want to do this. I would say that it is a little concerning that in the design guidelines for Fort Lowell, and I think for the whole city, it says no expansion joints on these historic buildings. And once these expansion joints are in, you know, the person down the street with the Host Trader store, when they go to replace their stucco, they're going to come in with an expansion joint program because their building is even bigger. And, it, you know, it's going to radiate everywhere. So, and it's going to be really, you can't say like, oh, it's only here because of the city's project and because they had a warranty issue. I mean, everybody's going to say the same thing. So, it's sort of a bind that you're putting the district in, and it does sort of change the character, because those expansion joints fundamentally look like modern interventions because there's a reason they didn't use them long ago. And they do now.
Well, there's really a procedural question here. This is a minor review. The minor review requires one member from this body and one member from PRS to make a site visit and make a recommendation, which then goes to Desiree, which potentially could go to the director. But it seems like we're relitigating that to a much larger committee.
Well, I think the information, you're right, Corky. We did, and we brought up those concerns and at that time. So you're right. It already has passed this roof. I think we're just reliving it.
Okay, no, you're welcome.
Not everybody was included, but these were brought up. And I know that Dan did a follow-up email making our concerns again. this idea about it setting a precedent, we had not come forward with, but it does.
And I would just say also from a technical standpoint, from a procedural standpoint, Corky, like, you know, I've communicated multiple times with the city about just general change of condition concerns, asking for on-site meetings or to have a public meeting where there could be a discussion about some of those changes. And it was done through the minor review process, which excludes the public because there's no real public notice posted anywhere. So I had no ability to attend or know. And so it's just an after the fact information session where,
you know, I know that's why it's a minor review.
But I would say that if an item is explicitly contradictory to the design guidelines, that's not a minor change.
That's not under our control.
I think giving the stakeholdership and the amount of money that is pouring into this property, this property is a special circumstance. It's not a private residence. It's a public building that had a groundbreaking with the mayor not that long ago. It's the stakeholdership is just so much higher for this building.
So maybe, Drew, I mean, on that note, since this is not a review by any means, if you could keep going in your presentation. We didn't mean to derail.
Sounds good.
Make it known.
Yeah, so the next issue we have here is...
Hang on, Drew, sorry.
Would you mind checking the technical standard for that?
So the second concern on the site we had is a site wall. We have a site wall on the northeast corner. It's roughly 25 feet long. It stands about, maybe 3 feet tall. And it was stripped of plaster, and we discovered that it had no foundation. It was severely eroding away at the bottom, basal coving, and there was a contra Perez poured on the sides, so basically a curb poured on both sides. You know, the contractor basically said, this thing is garbage. What do you guys want to do? We also have a similar condition that you'll see moving forward in the Donaldson house with site walls that are failing. Also don't have footings. They have contra Perez, and they're possibly in worse shape than this one.
They're in worse shape because they're thinner and taller than this. This is about a little over 2 feet tall, and it's quite stubby, so it's probably 2 feet wide, although there's probably about 8 inches worth of real adobe at the base of it.
So right now we don't really have a response. We have a proposal to replace all the site walls, which is to tear them down, remake brick out of the walls, put a foundation and build them back. It's kind of a broad generic. So we're having him re-provide us the proposal broken down in linear foot for each space. And it came out to somewhere around $60,000, which is above our budget at the moment. We're kind of
operating for all three walls.
Yeah. So we're operating at the place right now where we have a lot more issues, particularly the Donaldson. We had to replace maybe six or seven lintels over the windows and the doors. As we pulled the stucco off, we found that they're completely rotted away. So very quickly our contingency has been eaten away. So right now when we presented, we came in with three ideas. We were actually received a few more at the presentation, but you know, the first one is just to leave the wall as is and let it melt. We're not big fans of that because these are going to be public spaces and open to the public, that we can't have a wall that's unsafe. Second proposal was just to demo the wall totally. Third proposal is to demo the wall and, you know, pour back a foundation and build it up. But we did hear another good idea, or come up with another idea when we were on site, which was to kind of trim the wall down to be 18 inches high and leave it as is, as a ruin, to slowly let it melt away. We're kind of looking right now, if our current plan is that we're going to hold off on these walls to the bitter end and then make a decision. Right now, this wall isn't that big of a problem, but as you see, when we get into the Donaldson house, we need to make a decision sooner than later, because if we don't make a decision now, the cost of demo, repair, all of the above will be more, because they will have done a lot of site work and they won't be able to drive a Bobcat in, or, you know, be able to move the dirt.
There were two other ideas we heard. One was to put some buttresses on the north side of that wall to make it a little bit safer. And the third was to leave it as is, but put a fence around it.
So just this, as we've discussed already, this isn't a review of any kind, but just want to sort of illustrate the importance of that wall. Can I share my screen, Desiree?
Oh,
my battery's about to die. Hopefully it doesn't do this slower. Okay, share. Host disabled participant screen sharing. Doesn't like me.
Hopefully when I do co-host it should allow you soon.
Oh, here we go. Now we got it. Okay. So is that terminal? There it is. Okay. So just for the sake of a visual, this is a 2016 photo? 2014. You can see how well this wall kind of frames that courtyard. And it's a kind of, it's a more visually striking feature, I think, than, you know, what I took it as on the day of the site visit. And so if there's any way to go with, I think our first option was to potentially either reinforce it or rebuild it. This one in particular, not those at the Donaldson per se, but I just want to hammer that point home, because this is a really critical, more critical than what we gave it.
We're not arguing to get rid of them. Our basic underlying statement here is that we don't have necessarily the money to save these site walls at the cost that, you know, we went through. We're replacing two lintels at the commissary. Luckily, the lintels were in great shape, but I mean, Donaldson swallowed a chunk of the contingency, and you know, there's gonna be more that we find as we start to uncover these buildings.
There is no argument about the importance of this wall, none whatsoever.
And I'm not saying there is. I just wanted the rest of the board to be able to see, just in case when it comes around again, because since we requested for it to be reviewed before work is done, during our minor review last week, if somebody else, say it's not Mary Lou or I, go, we just want to reiterate the importance of it to the rest of the board, so they know that it's not to say that you're proposing to tear it down or anything. It's more.
No, I mean, one of the viable treatment options for preservation is replacing like for like, and it would be our intention to build that wall with local adobes made on site and essentially create exactly that wall with exactly that plaster that will look exactly the same. That is our preference, and that's the priority that we heard at the last meeting. We're guessing that this might be in the vicinity of $20,000 to $25,000 to do that. We don't have a specific price yet. And we heard loud and clear at that site meeting that this is the highest priority, and we would definitely agree with that.
Excellent. Thanks. That's all I wanted to make sure the board was on the same page. That's all. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the visual.
Sorry, Drew. Didn't mean to derail you. Okay.
All right. So then the last piece of this is at the commissary. We have a major issue, and this is our largest issue that we do have commissary. This wall along here, and particularly at the corner, where sort of we have this open patio that's walled in. We have the majority of our plaster damage on the backside of this wall, but what we found over time was that this wall at this corner is starting to roll or lean towards the west. And we have photo evidence of that, basically from the vigas in the ceiling or the joists you know, pulling away from the wall, and you can see where they had caulked it or painted it, and then it's moved, and it's probably moved a half inch over time. We had a lot of concern. We knew it was an issue when we were designing for the project, but at the time, our structural engineer basically said, let's pull the plaster off this corner. Once we get into the project, we can look into it and see what exactly is causing the damage. It's sort of a twofold. There was a pretty nasty crack in the parapet, which has been patched during the roof repair, but that isn't what was causing the damage. The wall itself does not have a foundation. The contractor dug probably a 6x4 hole out next to this wall, went straight down to see if there's a footing to determine what was going on, if we could use helical piers or if we could do a different option. And we found that there was nothing. It's just adobe goes straight into the ground. So the proposal that we had come up with is a possible, oh, here we go. Here's the photos. So you can see this is from inside the patio. There's pretty severe cracking and crumbling. It's all upper. This is from inside the building. They stripped the plaster off, and you can see how it's just crumbling and cracking in this corner, and it was toothed together. The photo on the left here is the hole we dug to kind of look in there, see it, to figure out what was our foundation situation. And basically what we're proposing is a buttress type wall that goes up, and we've run it by with our structural engineer, so we kind of have a proposal, but his only requirements was that it goes from the parapet height down. He's proposing probably a 4 foot by 4 foot by, I think he had a foot thick slab of concrete at the base, and then using a CMU going up as a column that would just basically brace that wall from tipping. We have two different sort of scenarios where we had buttress, where it looks like Bolsius himself kind of used this technique, because you can see above in this photo, it's got the oil adobes, which we think they were mixed with some sort of motor oil. We have a couple different examples of that on site. So this is our proposal, and this is what we need really feedback on, because option two is to tear that whole corner apart, which involves the roof, all the walls, dig down, put a footing, which is out of the budget. We think that this is probably the most or the least invasive preservation method. We sort of are proposing a not so dissimilar shape as to what's on site, but maybe it's a different material or a different color or a different shape. But that's what we're working at right now. So we kind of didn't get a lot of feedback. I think everyone understood once they saw the severe cracking inside the space and realized what was going on, and that the options are pretty limited at this point, because the room itself is in excellent shape. It's just this one corner.
So Desiree, did they get a copy of that?
Yeah, account? We did get some feedback on the buttress from the committee and from PRS. So the committee felt that, or their preference was to err more on the compatibility side rather than the differentiated side. So we will work through that with the project sponsor. And we have to go back to Parks and Rec as well and talk through the recommendations and the PTSD director as well. But that we did get that.
Did PRS agree with the less different, or did they?
I'm not sure they made a comment.
I don't think they comment on that after your email. So during the presentation, I think they were fine with the differentiation. But then Dan followed up with an email asking to be compatible, and they didn't.
Did you just tell us what's the rationale for using CMU as opposed to using adobe for the actual buttress structure?
Well, because CMU would allow us to, I mean, you can't really see in this micro version, but we would pour concrete down the cells, and then they themselves would have rebar going up, and then they would have a tie wire in each one of them. The adobe.
Right. We've got a lateral force on this. On this buttress, adobe is not very good at resisting lateral forces. Steel and concrete are very good at resisting lateral forces.
And our intention would be not necessarily to make it out of CMU. It would be a CMU column, and then we're kind of looking at, His requirements are only one brick width, so we could potentially bury a brick into an adobe sort of built up wall. You know, Randy was saying, why don't we just use like a slump block that already has the character of adobe, so as we build it up, you would get sort of that natural undulation.
Just to speak to that a little, Drew, that idea sounds kind of awesome. The CMU encoded in a layer of adobe brick, so to speak.
The problem with that is that they're two different materials and they will, you know, shrink and expand at different ratios, which is the problem.
Well, Drew, that was the point of my question about this, using CMU versus the adobe. If the wall is, if the main, the prime wall they are holding up is shrinking and expanding over time, and it's using the, I just think back to all of my conversations with David Ibetta about compatible material in adobe. But do you foresee that using a CMU block on this wall to create the lateral structure over time, although it'll definitely hold it up, in 40 years or 50 years, what could there be a negative impact because of this type of inert intervention that doesn't have the same ability to expand and contract like the adobe? That was really my question, not about the ability to control.
I mean, it's kind of an option of, you know, this is the best case fix or not. I mean, we thought in our thinking, because we didn't want to make it look like it belonged to the building, that possibly it connects to the building using some sort of metal control joint, right? Maybe it's the same material and the same look, but it has a metal control joint on both sides so that it distinguishes its change. That would also allow it to have that sort of ability to expand and contract if that was an issue. But I think more the issue.
Sorry, when you say a metal control joint, that would go between the CMU and the adobe, is that right?
It would be in the stucco. It would be like
stucco,
where the stucco meets the building.
I think from our perspective, the photograph on the bottom left is sort of what we're aiming for. We would like it to feel distinct and different from the existing building because, you know, the Secretary of Interior Standards says, don't try to fool anybody. And if we tried to make it look like that buttress was always there under Bolsius, then we're really not being honest about the history. So the clean line that you see on the bottom left is probably what our goal would be. I'm not sure we need to do a metal joint. I think simply a striking a joint at that point would be fine so that we don't, so it doesn't crack naturally there. It would separate there in its normal.
So that one on the bottom left, that where is that on the commissary? I can't read it in the red text.
Front of the building, build it, unit A.
Unit A, okay. Yeah.
And so is the one on the right hand side of the
picture. Yeah, that one I recognize. That's just that.
So both of those frame the two site walls.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go on to the Donaldson house.
Yeah, probably if you want to move forward, sorry.
Nope. Yeah, so Corgi, do you want to talk about this?
Sure. I mean, one of the updates that we think is pertinent to today's meeting is the Planning and Development Service Director's decision. As you recall, we went through a rather long and elaborate set of reviews by this committee, by PRS, and the way the system works is that the Planning and Development Service Director issues a decision with conditions approving the plan as submitted, with the following conditions. Number one, an older style of brick with no spacers provided for the outdoor patio. Smooth lime finish, more tan than gray in color, to be used for the commissary buildings. Bicycle racks to be historically compatible with the Fort Lowell Historic Preservation Zone and permits within 1 year. So it's our intent to comply with all of these conditions. We just wanted to update you on them.
All right, moving forward on the Donaldson House. So we had we have three issues and then a fourth one that was also included. I'll give you a project update. It's a scupper relocation on the front of the building. It's porch rafter tails, again, a similar site wall condition. And then the new steel door, which was a part of a previous review. It wasn't included in the PRS final determination, but we're just sort of including it to talk about it. Again, the Donaldson House, located on the northeast side of Fort Lowell and Craycroft, on the north side of the park. Photo of or site plan of it, and this is a site wall that's in question, and this is the other site wall in question. But we're going to move basically from front to back with the issues. So here's just a nice photo. They rebuilt probably over 200 adobes on site for a lot of the parapets were badly damaged. There was a lot of water infiltration that had damaged some of the adobes, so we were able to rebuild a lot of it. Here's a photo. This site plan is a hybrid. It's kind of the proposed patio as well as the existing scuppers. So I included it even though it's an outdated photo. It shows you which direction the water is running. So originally we had a scupper here on the southeast corner of this front building and then two on the west corners. And so all the water poured into this courtyard. And right now you can see in this photo, here's one of the old scuppers and then here's another scupper. The issue with this was there's not enough positive drainage to get the water out. And you'll see in the next photo where we had some major issues along this wall, which is this wall here. So we had in the original permitted plans, we had gotten permission to place the new scupper over here. Our intentions was to get it out of this courtyard. But during demo and construction, and this is an outdated plan, this patio will more emulate the original photos that we have that you'll see as we move forward. But this back door is possibly lower than this corner, if not the same grade. And we have a lot of concern that if we're pushing the water out here, it's going to go back into the building. Because during this time, we discovered that there's a sheet flow that runs over the site. It comes from off of the park. It crosses Fort Lowell. And I should probably show that in the previous photo. So the sheet flow comes from the park, crosses Fort Lowell, and runs through the site across our parking lot and kind of rounds this corner and goes back here, as well as it runs across the site. And then we were having a lot of issues where it was bottlenecking into this corner and going through. And that was a part of our design here is, oh, you can't see it. I think I have another photo, but there's a series of berms that are grabbing that water and slowing it down. So our proposal is to move the gutter that was to be on the west side to the center of the front. This will allow us to push the water out into our basin and get the water away from the building, because that's our biggest concern. Again, we haven't dug down on Donaldson to see if it has a footing or a foundation yet, but we're just going to assume that the majority of this adobe is also on the ground. And then here's some photos, you know, pre-construction. You can see the damage that was happening on this wall. And at some point, someone or the city had come back and they used a stabilized adobe that they tied into here. Since we started the project and ripped all the plaster off, this whole corner was destroyed, and Randy has rebuilt the corner and retoothed it together with adobes made on site. So I just, if you guys want to ask any questions. Say that again?
Fine with the scupper.
The scupper. And did you hear how they talked about the drainage and the pools? I mean, thank you for that great information, Drew. Appreciate it.
Well, we ended up hiring a civil engineer to solve those problems for us too. Yeah. And you can see in this photo right here how the patio was closed in at the time. So we thought draining it here, but once we opened the patio up, we realized that this may be higher than the patio itself. So that was where that.
Just for clarity, so we understand. So the scupper is now on that elevation in the photo that you're showing, right in the middle.
This center right here, yes.
And it's saturated.
That's the proposal. It'll be the same color as the stucco, the way it is in the lower right hand photo.
Thank you.
Okay. So then the second issue that we've run into is the rafter tails on this porch. Some of them didn't look that bad, but then once they demoed the walls and entered in, we realized that every rafter tail is pretty much rotten and bad. And the way that this sort of started was that the roofing contractor asked if he could put a, you know, fascia along here so that the gutter had something to attach to, because each one of those rafter tails is sort of bending and changing. It's not a straight line. But after we took a look at what was going on, we found an incident. It's this one right here, that someone had previously sandwiched the rafter tail or sistered it with 2 1-bys. So it's basically 2 boards that are exact same size as the rafter, and it just goes on both sides, adding roughly 3/4 of an inch to each side, which would be 1/2 inch. Our plan is, or our intention is, to cut the rafter tail off kind of after the beam, and then attach a new rafter tail and then sister the 2 boards. So the rafters themselves would increase in a little thickness, but would stay the same. And if we do that option, then we won't need to use the fascia to hold the gutter. We can do a barn hanger, because we no longer have to worry about sort of the undulation of each rafter and how uneven it was.
And then here's we had a good comment from Desiree. Remind me of the name of the new plant, the new
Jason.
Jason had some really good comment at that meeting, and we looked at it closely, and we can. It was a great idea, and we're going forward with that.
Yeah, there was good discussion. I think also Andrew Christopher from PRS gave some feedback, because initially the rafter tails were going to be covered, obscured, and the point was made that they're character-defining features. So the conversation evolved, and
that was a good comment. We agree with it.
So again, I just included, these are the historic photos of the patio back when the rafter tails weren't rotten. And then here's the last of it. And you guys all saw this, but these are the 2 site walls in question that are so severely damaged. You know, we didn't know what to do with this, but I think right now Corky and I are both leaning towards, you know, removing the top X amount of adobes and leaving it at 18 inches and possibly, you know, just leaving it to erode like a ruin or stuccoing it and leaving it. But either way, they're really unsafe and in some cases have already fallen down. But if any kids were to run up and push on this, it would definitely fall over at its current condition. And this is the site walls that, you know, we don't really know where they came from or what the date is. The walls show multiple different layers or times of adobes put onto it, as well as they don't necessarily match what you see in the building, because you can see sort of when certain sections of the building were built because the mud matches. And in this, we have actual different layering that happened, and we're not 100% clear, but this is kind of the one we don't know how to answer.
If you look at the top right photograph and you go down around 3 courses from the top, you can see from that point down, it's pretty solid. But unlike a lot of adobe, these are worse at the top of the wall rather than the bottom wall. And these are about 8 inches thick compared to the one at the commissary, which is almost 2 feet thick. And then you can also see in the bottom photograph that sits at where the J is on the left side of the drawing. And that is a very, very large mesquite tree that is now dead. It has taken out some of the wall to the west, and our plans have the removal of that. And it's a little hard to imagine that we can actually get that tree removed without further damaging that wall.
It's clear that the walls definitely got altered to do something with the trees at a certain point. I'm just, I wonder if they're part of the Fort Complex footprint in any way. especially given the changing materials. As you said, you don't. No one seems to be.
I don't think, honestly, don't think these walls are, and particularly this one here, because it dead ends in what we're calling the tack room, but it's that small structure that sits underneath the awning, and it has a completely different it's a completely different mud, and then how it meets the building, it's a butt. There's no toothing, so it's clear that it was like added after that building existed.
And the center 3 feet along the straight one going north is already gone. It collapsed.
Right in here.
Mark, I have a question. What about what we call the tumacocory method throughout all of the meetings where it just gets encapsulated in the lime plaster?
I'm sorry, Damien, can you speak louder?
The tumacocory method where it just gets encapsulated in a lime plaster rather than just left to expose to deteriorate, it really sort of becomes
what we could do that. We could also put a sacrificial coat on the very top as a way to protect it. But no matter what, an 8-inch wall that is fragile is going to get pushed over. I mean, any of us could push this over with one arm.
That's how bad it is.
From a Parks and Rec point of view, you're going to may have children on this site. I don't think you want anything to fall over that could hurt someone if it did. And, you know, honestly, this is 8 inches thick and probably about 5 inches thick on the top. It wasn't good the day they built it. And it's gotten much worse since.
Talked about a lot of different strategies, but the one that you sort of seemed to settle on was reducing it down like a foot or two.
Well, bringing it to 18 inches. So if it fell, it wouldn't.
What's
the current height, just to better understand these photographs?
It's about 3 feet. It would be cut it in half.
Okay. And then I guess my recommendation is to do that encapsulation so that it's not continuing to deteriorate and then it's not falling down more. And then you're left with sort of an unsightly ruin and this whole issue where then the whole thing's getting demoed down the road because it's actually sort of being cared for. And when you look across the street in the ruins that didn't get encapsulated fully, they fell down.
They're gone.
They're gone.
Right.
One of the things we had asked on these three walls was to have the final determination after they got other estimates on some of these other things they could do, and that come back for another review on all three walls. We did agree that the walls of Donaldson were less important than the one at the commissary, but we wanted to know what they were going to do before they did it. And they were agreeable to that. So I appreciate it.
Damien, I'm going to add this in. Originally, the commissary proposal wasn't to redo the windows, but you know, since we've been working on it and Randy's been there and during COVID, people tried to break into the commissary multiple times. We're going through and fixing all the windows, which is a far more higher expense than these walls. So
just to remind you what we said earlier, we have a price for the reconstruction with local adobes of all three walls. It's about $66,000. We heard from the committee on site that the highest priority is the commissary. For argument's sake, let's say each costs $20,000 to do. The reason, and you're accurate, the reason we decide to delay the decision is we need to see how much funds we have left in our Adobe repair contingency budget to see exactly what we can accomplish. So the suggestion was made by the chair, and I agree that this is a decision that we don't have enough information yet to decide.
And it seems like it's a priority to get the tree out too, right? Like that sounds like
That's a pretty serious safety issue.
Yeah. Well, and we're working directly with parks, and the parks manager asked for this tree and another tree that's dead right here in the northern part, both of which have been cabled by Parks and Rec over time and now are dead. And she just said, please remove them because they're a danger. And if this one here, or if both of them go down, they potentially could, definitely are going to hurt the walls, but potentially could hurt the buildings too.
Yeah, just express a hope that they are really careful with the removal so that it does as little damage as possible and they're not dropping limbs onto the fragile structure that we're still talking about.
Of course.
One other topic that Corky and I discussed just as a side note on this site is that once you're on the site, either through the front door or through the gate, it's just to the east. So then there's a wall, wall that runs to the east. Once you're through the building and into the courtyard, nothing keeps you off of the ruins, off of the corral ruins. So that's just, it wasn't part of this project, but parks may have to think about that, a way to protect the corral ruins with another fence.
Thank you, Elaine.
And then I'm going to show you guys the last piece. Oh, Corky, I'll let you cover this.
This was the director's decision for the Donaldson House. And I'm going to go through those one at a time. Design changes to the existing flooring to be presented for a courtesy review. It turns out that we were afraid that the rodent damage to the concrete floor was too bad to allow us to preserve that concrete floor and refinish it. It turns out that that's not true, and we will not be putting tile in here, which is one of the concerns that we had in front of the FLHZAB, and so that becomes a moot point. We're going to be refinishing that existing concrete floor with no new tile or new tile material. The front door is presented to PRS to return for courtesy review, and any subsequent front door changes to return for minor review. We have that here to show you today. There have been no changes since the last time you saw that. So we're here with it, but to some extent it's moot as well. Item 3 is an interpretive exhibit to be installed. That's not in our scope. That really sort of falls to either to Parks and Rec to deal with that in the future or for someone to add that to our scope. Currently, it's not. And then finally, permits were awarded within 1 year of the decision.
Thank you. Anything else?
Oh, here, I'm just going to show you. So this is the historic front door. I don't think this one shows it, but the door that's there now was actually the main door. So there were screen doors somewhere along the lines, and then the main door, we don't know exactly what happened, but it became the front door to the whole building. Here's what we have at the current moment. Our design intention, and you guys have seen this already, is to repair these doors. They're going to act sort of as a nighttime shutter. So they'll be able to be opened, locked into place during the day. They'll remain open. We had to get a lot of blessing from the county inspectors, but the top head height of this peak is 6'5", which is not an acceptable door height, but because of its historic nature, they're allowing us to get away with it. We also have alternate entrances that, you know, provide ADA access to somebody in a wheelchair, and this not necessarily would be who couldn't use this doorway, but the design is just to use a steel tube. We're going to build sort of a steel tube storefront inside of it, glass panels, so you can kind of, you know, when it's open, you feel the same feeling as it being open, and then a single swing door. And you guys saw this. I think when they wrote that decision letter, you guys hadn't seen a fully developed version of this, but.
But it was very similar to this.
Yeah.
Is there any leeway on materials there with the door?
It's going to be steel, just half steel. A welded steel. It'll be a double pane glass on here. This will probably be a tube steel frame, and then inside the inside will have sort of a low profile, I think 3/4 inch flat steel that will hold in the glass, and then there'll be an outside piece that, you know, it screws so into.
There's no chance it could be wood, in other words.
No.
Is that just for commercial?
Well, it's not original, so we're, you know, again, trying to
differentiate them. It'll be painted. It won't be a natural steel. It'll be painted probably the same color as the darker colors on the door.
So before it was basically a French door.
No, it is just, this is what's there right now.
And then this had a screen door over it. So even though this opens outwards and the screen door opened outwards.
Is that right?
Could you go back to the photo?
This opens outward.
Yeah, this opens out, and then a screen door would open outward. How about that?
But at some point that was changed.
So what are we seeing now was the change?
No, we're going to, this, what you see here is what's there currently.
Right. But this is
our plan, but our plan isn't to change this. Our plan is to build this door behind that door. So this door would open up, act as a shutter, and then the new door would be behind.
I think what David's asking is, what did the historic doors look like that were behind those screen doors?
It was this door. Oh, well, stop sharing. I'm sorry.
It could be because they're both outswings.
Yeah, I understand that. But what I'm saying is at some point they changed it, whoever they
were. Oh,
was.
I see. So they made it.
Because if you go look at the historic photos, there is a photo of that screen door, and you can zoom in, you can see these triangles behind it. So that door was there in some manner, and if I'm not sure if it swung out or how it worked,
I think they reversed the swing.
Well, okay. you can see that someone's done something around the exterior too, because this plaster is different. Oh, yeah. So it was modified at some point.
Yeah. It's 70s. It was a children's museum.
Yeah,
that's probably when they.
Yeah.
Okay. So this design though is coming back for a minor review at some point. Is that right?
No. We were just sharing it with you guys because we had said we would come back and share it with you.
If you go back to the decision letter, it said, if you have more detail on what the door looks like, bring it back to the committee. But it's not a minor review.
Oh, I thought that was that not the first item on the thing you just wrote off?
No.
It was already decided.
It was the end. We're just showing you.
There was agreement that this was the right solution. But there was some concern to see a little more detail. This is a little more detail, 100% consistent with what we showed at the meeting.
Thank you. Any other questions, concerns, anything?
Hopefully you won't get too many more surprises.
Well, the Donaldson house is almost complete.
The current work on the adobe, the adobe walls, like the top of the parapets, are very, very even, where they used to like step down more and be more inconsistent.
On which building?
I'm sorry.
We haven't touched any of the parapets.
Well, the adobe walls that you're rebuilding on the walls.
Those exterior ones, I mean, I don't think that they stepped down at all on the front facade.
I just seem like it looks like they're very consistent now. It's very square.
I think they're going to shape them better than that. I mean, I think they laid them and then they were building them up.
I thought we were talking about when we were looking at the walls, the side walls, the side walls. Where the gates are?
Yes, specifically where the gates are through. It looked like the old pictures and the new pictures. The new pictures show it.
I don't think they're any different. I do know that where they ended, they had built up new adobe and they had a sharper corner. But, you know, when I was over there last time, they were breaking the corner as they were putting a second layer of mud.
Okay.
I'll just send you guys a separate email, but also on the West Department, there's been a significant, on the West Department, there's been a change to the parapet. I'll just send you guys a picture of it. See.
West?
Yeah, the standalone.
A.
A. A. A.
On the parapet? I don't. I mean, that happened in a previous construction.
Well, Damon's going to send you a picture.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Corky Drew? Anything? Thank you.
That's
you.
It.
Thanks
for the informative.
Thanks for hanging out through that.
Yeah, it really was informative, and we appreciate your information a great deal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
And just in terms of this minor review, it was so much more than I've ever been to do at a minor review. And that's just something that, and for the most important building in our neighborhood.
I mean, is there any provision?
Really a lot. So,
is there any provision
can you
in the
unis? Yourself now? So we're getting us.
Yeah.
Oh, Margo.
No, Margo's
going to just quickly say that, like, in my time on PRS, and I did a lot of so there were cases where it would exceed beyond what was really could be done in the field. Like, if it wasn't fighter, you know, we just said it in the back to the field.
Yeah, we're
in that saying, direction that just said this is beyond what the comfort level of
the thing. Are we allowed to move it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think maybe in the future, but now we know.
Now we know, and we did do that on the walls. Right?
The other thing that came up was the idea of demoing those walls. Doesn't that demo require the demo process to kick in?
Yeah.
The city's demo process and mayor council approval?
That's a good question. We'd have to look into that.
That would sit us down.
And not to be belaborate, because I guess there would be, but it does say in the code that there's been expansion jobs allowed these sorts of decisions. It is beyond the line for change. Like they're asking for
code variance.
Code variation that's so significant that changes their buildings. And that was no question anywhere in the district.
The only reason I thought maybe they were bringing that up is because there's like a little bit of a gray area that a control joint is different from an expansion joint. But they're largely used interchangeably. So I think maybe that's worth specifying in both the code and in the guidelines that control joint and expansion joint are.
You can't discuss protocol or an expansion joint.
Well, I mean, an expansion joint, well, if you differentiate, if you're really splitting hairs, an expansion joint actually has material that goes between those two, so you have like a layer, something between it, and then another.
We don't know what type of methodology this contractor suggested.
Exactly. So it's like, and this is why I say it's really ambiguous whether they're used interchangeably or what, right? And so, what I from my mind, as far as it's written, expansion joint includes control joint in the UDC and in the guidelines, right? Because what we're talking, at least from a guidelines perspective, is yes, the aesthetic of putting a big straight line down an historic structure, right?
I mean, it would clearly damage the aesthetics of the building. It's pretty obvious that putting all those vertical lines
No, I think you know, there is an argument to be made for when you have porches and bricks that are completely segregated from interleaved bricks on a structure. And okay, if the expansion or the control joint can be sort of disguised well enough in those areas, maybe, because it will a guaranteed spot about where it's going to split, but you know, that's maybe something else we should discuss when he's faced.
Is there like a maintenance plan that the city has for this building following its expensive renovation? Because like one of the things that, it's just concerning because the city has been the steward of this property that has seen it go into such challenging disrepair. So I think understanding a maintenance plan for the future would be imperative.
Yeah, I'll come back with more information on that. I think that is part of the scope, but
I mean, to boot with another follow-up question on that is if there are changes or amendments to, you know, say for instance the addition of a control joint, right? And if that has a cost associated, that cost is offset and set aside for maintenance. Right, so if we're able to save money on the front end, can it be used on the back end for repairs? Right, it is. Probably not as also because there is a plan. Are they being developed or?
Yeah, there is one for the commissary. The Donaldson is still being developed.
Is it possible that we can see it?
I think so. Yeah, let me double check.
Would that be inclusive to a maintenance plan or?
Well, I think it helps informing the fact that there was, may not have been bringing this up since the beginning, the fact that there was no preservation plan and defined areas in some of the very complex property that had a very dynamic, well, dynamic history. So there were many, many layers, and then there was never a preservation by the established groups, let alone primary care, big plant features, secondary features, tertiary features. So like this, even the discussion about the wall coming down, should that those elements that have been identified in a comprehensive plan, also with the unique woodwork and the color features on the back plaster blue, is that coming back? Has that gone? Again, not being able to attend
a minor
review to like even just sort of say, oh, hey, this is something that already flagged twice. Why is it? I don't know. It's not high. So that plan, those plans that never existed, not really formed. And so there is one, it's chronological that order, but it would inform maintenance too. Ultimately, it's like a key component of any of these big projects that just didn't have it. And then it also provides all of the content to provide interpretation.
Right.
When it gets used. So now you're talking about the new RLP and that it needs to be built into that RLP, but that person has to provide some of that interpretation, but they don't have it.
I was just about to ask about, is there a plan in place so that tenants know what changes they're allowed to make, what changes they're not allowed to make, so forth?
Yeah, that'll be part of the adjustment. She would work on it work on it with us. So.
Yeah, so some of these questions will certainly follow up with Parks and Rec. Was able to join us today. Greg Park was on earlier, but he left.
Kirk Jackson.
I am still, kind of new. So, maintenance plan, architectural reports. What was the last thing?
This is component to a preservation plan. So, a maintenance plan maybe is a can be convolved in the preservation plan, but they are two separate things, right? So, preservation. Is much more about preventing amendments that are unwanted, I think, right? So if a tenant says, oh, I want to put a display here, let me rip out this Bolsius cabinet to do it, that would be a big problem.
Yeah,
so we want it in their contract that says you're not allowed to make any changes without going through this sort of review first.
And you also saving money on the front end.
Right, That might be sort of maintenance or preservation, I guess you could put it in both.
So like another issue that looks like for us, and again, I looked at the plan, those plans are very, very complex, and again, are very, very set of design plans. But inside of the balance of house, it is not clear to me, certainly in the presentations, and we've had many of them, but they'd be removing the entire roof structures from sections of that interior. And then what's going back, was there, in their removal, was there exposed beams and board? And is that going back? Or is it, I think in the plans, it fall down like a drywall ceiling. So what's actually, like, is something that was a character feature going back? Or is it just, an anonymous plaster?
It would just be
because, and also some of those things, because there was through the exploratory process and because of the lab preservation plan, because the minor review happened 6 months into the project, as opposed to slightly of our settings, slightly of site visits, I'm just concerned that some of the character features or character sort of fabric in the building is not just being lost, but it's not being considered for interpretation of the installation. But I'm just not clear. I asked the question and just listened. Presented with those thoughts and regions. So, and I'm not trying to be antagonistic, I'm just concerned about the taxpayers, very expensive in that project and making sure that the project is a success, that it really will walk away from them something really embodies the character of Rosal, not just classroom office.
So I think you're talking about the bedroom or the.
I didn't go on the property. Just standing on the property line, looking, there were like it would be as if this entire roof structure was gone along the sky.
Yeah.
So the trusses thing, the entire roof is just gone. So that level of immersion, it's not clear to me in all of the plan that there would actually be a complete substructure of the roof and trusses and the beams of board.
Yeah, I noticed during the tour that they put LVLs on that east wing.
Was that's the one I know about. So those were just questions.
Yeah,
just
thanks,
the LVLs one?
Yeah.
You know,
that's all going to be enclosed. But
yeah, so it might have been, you know, it might have just been 2x4s that had a, you know, cove ceiling. That's possible. A glass ceiling. That's possible. That is highly unlikely. There are so few houses in Florida that have a glass ceiling. Almost every single one has an exposed mean scale. So the probability, supposedly we see it like that's there, that maybe deteriorated.
Yeah.
But we don't know because there's no...
Right, there's no...
There's no investigation.
We're
it was a detailed plan. Yeah.
Probably.
That's the extent.
Okay. Well, we can follow up with the perks.
That would be a good thing to have is, you know, photos, like updates, mm-hmm. and say, okay, well, this is what we found.
And the photos that I'll send at Airbit, I'll send them to you, but I'll just see if you're really required to contact.
Okay.
Because I don't want to go around pieces. But it is, there's whatever happened with the roofing, and they did the re-roofing.
You're talking about the apartment? Which building?
The commissary.
Yeah,
the
west apartment.
The west end, the Airbit shape is really changed.
So
yeah.
And is that
No.
Facing our driveway.
Yeah.
And that was the last year it's changed, or is this
last 2 years? I mean the photos I have anyway, I'll set them.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there are other follow-up questions like that, feel free to email me and I get some answers.
Yeah, that's
currently those were all emergency repairs because those parents are failing in the
booster. Right.
Remember, so they just brought in emergency repairs.
It's
and emergency. They said that this will all be corrected during the pageant.
Yeah.
But now they're saying, oh, well,
that's not hard.
But I think even those walls, because they show the picture of those walls, and you can see the stuff down there in the walls.
And I have some relatively correct photographs. You took some.
Some, yeah, but the ones I have are most of them. I think this board is really working on it. So thank you very much. I would like to get the number for Shelby from you and any other nominees that you have this morning. Jill is a developer assistant, and I think you should act on that. Well, it's, I think our
and you have someone else.
Yes, Eric. Yes, some people know him. He's loves sassy lives within walking distance of the chapel. So I thought he would be an archaeologist with Arizona, so I will be, if that's okay, go ahead and contact us if anybody's interested. But if you've got somebody else in mind, let's do it.
I saw that there was a draft of a newsletter article going out. And
I sent it to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It only came in this morning. I did not have an opportunity to read it today. But does it call for participation?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, but we could add that.
Yeah, I think
I'd like to send this up tomorrow.
Okay, I think it's an opportunity to say there's vacancies on the board, and if anybody brings a special area of expertise or has an interest in doing this type of service, and be sure to denote that it's not no time commitment. But yeah, like that you could be available as former board president or however, but I think something that continues to solicit more board participation.
You're rejoining the board, right?
At some point. I'm the president of the neighborhood.
But you've already been nominated.
But it is. So long as we remember to call her out, she can communicate, just like Lillian can communicate. And that information is great. I would love to have you on the board, don't get me wrong, but your participation.
She's on the
Your participation is. is so needed and so don't. Whatever standard you want.
I know we
want to be involved. I don't care. Just so you should.
I know we've had a really long meeting. Do we want to just do this meeting minute approval from the last two meetings so that they're not getting further and further into our history?
Sure.
I myself have reviewed the minutes. I make a motion that we approve the last two meeting minutes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye. Aye.
Hi, thank you.
We can try to stay current with her.
Thank you very much. And the meeting minutes actually took really good. You read them. Anything else? Anything else? I think we're going to be adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President.
Thanks,
everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Desiree. We appreciate you too.